Thank you, Owen. Hello. So I'm a PhD student at the University of Delaware, but I'm excited to have the opportunity to show you some of the work that I had done as an ORISE program participant at the EPA about arsenic and vanadium in soil dust and what patterns with geochemistry and arsenic bioaccessibility we observed. So beginning first with arsenic risk assessment, there's different levels of evidence and data that are collected for risk assessment, the most direct being actual ingestion exposure to dust, but it's not like you can go and form a study where you intentionally expose someone to arsenic. So there's animal feeding studies and also solid to liquid extractions that simulate the same chemical conditions. But really the most applied data is just total concentrations. That's what's used in regulation. And if a site is contaminated with arsenic, that's the first, if only, data that is collected. But it's obviously furthest removed from how relevant that arsenic data is to the health after exposure. And when we're talking about arsenic in soil, the primary exposure pathway that we're concerned with is incidental ingestion of dust. And so arsenic bioaccessibility is it's a percentage of the total arsenic in soil that after ingestion, it's a percentage that is available for uptake into the body. And a lot of work has been done to show how influential the species of arsenic in the soil, as well as other soil properties, can really influence that percentage. It's rarely up to 100%. It's somewhere as a fraction. And so this is to describe the part one to this part two of the study. Like, how did we get to vanadium? Why are we looking at vanadium? And there was a goal to make a predictive model using the widely available total concentrations that are commonly collected at sites to try and see if it would be somewhat predictive of arsenic bioaccessibility. And so this is a map of across the U.S. of Superfund sites where arsenic is a major concern. Roughly 130 of these soils were used in the model. So total concentrations of these 16 elements, as well as the bioaccessibility in the solid liquid extraction, were made into a model. And we saw some elements that had trends that we would expect, such as calcium and iron. It can be related to arsenic species or soil properties, which is logical for to be influential of arsenic mobility. But what was really surprising was that vanadium came up as only second to iron as being influential across the data set. So we wanted to dig deeper. Are there possible indications that vanadium is giving us about soil properties or the species of arsenic for reasons? Why is this in the model? And so information about vanadium cycling in the environment and in soils, it's still not very well developed. This figure came from a review from Huang 2015, and in that review, there's still many, many question marks about processes of vanadium. But generally, vanadium in soils, there's the major inputs are from bedrock. That's where the major source is for vanadium. Also, atmospheric deposition, anthropogenic sources, mainly through burning of hydrocarbons. There are three main oxidation states of vanadium, 5, 4, and 3, that are found in soils. 5 is the more mobile oxidation state, which can be reduced either biotically or abiotically to 3 or 4, where it is thought to be mostly retained in soil by either organic matter or clay minerals and iron oxides. And this is where we saw the most logical connection to arsenic, because we know that arsenic is strongly controlled by sorption to aluminum or iron, manganese or clay. So this is an organization of how we, the different hypotheses and where we organize the results into. First, the most basic explanation is that arsenic just has a separate geochemistry not related to vanadium, and that there's other factors involved with that vanadium came up into the model. But if it does share geochemistry, it's possible that these soil minerals are sort of an indirect, a middleman connection between vanadium and arsenic, but it's also possible that there are direct species containing both arsenic and vanadium. And we looked at this at multiple scales, both with bulk extractions, which is the same scale that the bioaccessibility assessment was at, and this is using half a gram of soil, but also doing bulk XAS at the mesoscale and at the micro scale with micro XRF mapping and micro XFs. So three soils that we picked out for further characterization. We wanted to cover a range of soil properties and contamination sources. We had a Barber Orchard soil, which had lead and arsenic as its contamination source. Lava Cap mine in California with gold and silver mining as the major contamination source, and Iron Mountain with iron mining be the major contamination. And you can see the bioaccessibility values as a percentage of the total arsenic. They were all very low for each of the soils, down to non-detectable for the Iron Mountain. The arsenic was moderate. It's still elevated, but within the same range. Vanadium was at about what you would expect the background in crustal abundance and soil abundance. So we don't think that it was contaminated with vanadium. And then the manganese, aluminum, and iron values, you see some very big differences. The Barber Orchard has quite high manganese compared to the other soils, as well as higher aluminum. The aluminum and iron are in grams per kilogram, whereas manganese in milligram. And the Iron Mountain had 1.6% iron by weight. It really was like bright red. It had a ton of iron in it. So starting off with the bulk scale, the wet chemical extractions, there's a lot of data here, but I wanted to show just the major trends. So the exchangeable arsenic and vanadium, and the dotted line is overlaid the IVB, the bioaccessible arsenic. And you can see a good, it's fairly close. The percent of the total that was exchangeable, loosely exchangeable arsenic by phosphate extraction with the IVBA. And this is logical because this is the fraction we would think to be most loosely held in the soil. And then there was an oxidizable fraction meant to release any arsenic or vanadium that may be associated with organics in the soil. And they're all very low as percentage, but the Lava Cap mine showed a good amount of vanadium being released, but no arsenic. So this shows some deviation in the extractable pools. And finally, the citrate dithionite reducible fraction shows what we were expecting, that the aluminum and iron and manganese, mostly iron and manganese reducible, really released a lot of arsenic and vanadium, especially in the Iron Mountain. It's close to 95% for both arsenic and vanadium. For Lava Cap, it's worth noting that there was a good portion that was still unable to be reduced and released. And Barber Orchard showed a very big difference in pools between the much more arsenic was released than vanadium. So for the arsenic bulk speciation of these three soils, I want to start first looking at the derivative, just the oxidation state of arsenic. It's clear that the Lava Cap mine, you can see two separate peaks, one for arsenic 3 reduced, but then further lower in energy, showing an arsenic sulfide. And this goes with our findings with the extractions, that the arsenic was already reduced in an arsenic sulfide, so it was unable to be extracted. So that explains that fraction. And we saw in the Barber Orchard a little bit of the initial contamination was still present as the lead arsenate pesticide. And the rest were explained by adsorption either to manganese oxides in that Barber Orchard or a gibbsite, bernasite, or goethite standards. And looking at the vanadium oxidation, this data was mostly useful for the oxidation state. You can see on the left, these are standards of vanadium of 3, 4, and 5, and you can see that huge difference in the pre-edge peak. It's very informative of oxidation state. And you can see here's the bulk XFs compared to the micro. And the bulk look much more uniform between the three soils, very little difference. Whereas when you look at the microzanes, you see much more variety in oxidation state using that intensity of pre-edge peak. And in Barber Orchard, you see much more of vanadium 4, whereas in the Lava Cap and Iron Mountain, you see much more vanadium 3. In the XRF maps, these are showing a tricolor. The iron is in blue, arsenic in red, and vanadium in green. And so just looking at all three, you see the overall color of these maps are purple. And this represents the trend we were mostly seeing. Arsenic is with iron, and that explains most of the arsenic mobility. The Barber Orchard map, though, we were able to find 8 different spots where arsenic and vanadium appear to be co-located in grains. And this is very interesting. We never would have seen this if we hadn't looked at such a fine scale. And this may be because it's a small proportion of the total, but it is present. And we did arsenic micro XFs. And at this spot right here where the vanadium is, and it's clear that there's an arsenic mineral, but we were unable to fit it well with our standards. But it was closest to some residual lead arsenate with some pharmacosiderite. That was the closest it resembled. The Lava Cap mine, this is really descriptive of all the other results we are seeing. You see that bright red showing some of that arsenic sulfide unassociated with iron or vanadium. You see some mixture of vanadium with iron. But you also see some vanadium bright green all by itself. And this could be from that 10% that was with organic matter, or it could also be with some aluminum. And the Iron Mountain site, we expected to see it with the iron. The soil has so much iron. It was all released in that citrate dithionite. Almost 100% of the iron was extracted, and there's very little elsewise. But in the map, we see these bright green spots. So this is kind of unexpected. It's not with iron, but it could be possibly with silica or iron. So in conclusion, so the separate geochemistry evidence, the exchangeable arsenic was loosely correlated with the bioaccessibility, so that explained it. And there was still arsenic speciation from the initial contamination source, and the vanadium was not always with the same soil minerals. That being said, the majority of both arsenic and vanadium did appear to be with clay, iron, manganese, or aluminum oxides. And only in the pesticide soil did we see any evidence of direct speciation together. And so the implications for this model are that possibly in the data set, however many of those points came from pesticide contaminated sites, that may influence how much this vanadium is useful in the model. So I would like to thank the EPA Office of Research and Development in Cincinnati and the Advanced Photon Source, where we collected all of our data at Sector 10BM and Sector 20ID for the mapping, as well as my group at the University of Delaware. Thank you.
Questions? And I'd like to jump in and start. So is there a fundamental difference in the sources here? Is there vanadium in pesticides, like the historic pesticides? Is it fundamentally just came in associated, or and in the mine waste it wouldn't be, or
There is some, so vanadium 5 has some very similar chemistry to arsenic 5. And there's some evidence that it could have been included as in phosphate fertilizers as an impurity, or also in the pesticides as an impurity. So there is some evidence it could have been directly applied as an impurity. Yes?
So the vanadium polymerase itself?
That is possible, yeah. If the concentration is high enough in solution, it can form polymers in, yeah, just with itself, I think it's hydroxides. Yeah. Yeah, so that's maybe possible for some of those isolated vanadium spots. But it would have to, maybe some of those mine soils, some extreme conditions going on, that might be possible.
Thanks again, Aaron.